And hour number two, and we welcome the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager, and this is brought to you by Petkus Brothers. Coach, how are you today?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, when you were on with us last week, you know, we talked a little bit about hunting, and, you know, after you hung up, you know, we made fun of you because, you know, we were picturing you in a little hut.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, so
talking about shooting them poor little wabbits.
And ice fishing. So do you partake in ice fishing when you're back in Minnesota?
I'll tell you, if you want to get cold, stand out there on the ice with no ice house. Like, that is the coldest I have ever been, where you can't feel your fingers. And but I sitting in an ice house is its own experience. That's kind of cool. You sit around, it's, you know, BSing with your buddy or whatever, and it's that's not too bad.
So I think that was a yes.
It sounded like a yes to me.
That sounded like a yes, Coach.
Do I like to ice fish? Yes, with an ice house.
Okay. I'm impressed, actually, Coach, that Grant remembered to ask you that. Well played, Napier.
Hey, listen, you think we're going to have the coach on once a week and I'm going to forget to ask him something like that? That is not happening.
I'm going to ask you something, though, Grant. You know, I'm seeing it on DirecTV, on their advertisements. If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball. Are you getting royalties for that?
No, I'm not. And you know what? My wife keeps on asking me that same question every time she hears it. So, do you have any advice for me in that area, Dave, you know, where I could get some royalties?
Get an agent, baby.
We'll talk after we get off the air. Hey, nice to talk to you after a win. You changed the lineup around. I got to tell you, and I think that's the best all-around game that I've seen Rudy Gay play. I thought he was the best player on the floor. You and I and Doug have talked about this. I think he's been maybe your most consistent player. What a year he's having. But, boy, his defense on DeMar DeRozan and everything that he brought to that game. Let's talk a little bit about Rudy Gay.
Well, I think, you know, overall in the week, I think, you know, his first two games were tough for him. Kawhi Leonard does a great job. What San Antonio tries to do to us is say, okay, DeMarcus, if you're going to get 25, 30, that's cool. Don't get 40. But let's take away Rudy Gay. And they have a big emphasis on that. And then Bamute did a really good job on him in the Clippers game. And for a guy who, you know, he had two tough games. And he didn't let it go into 2 or 3 weeks of having tough games. So, you know what, I'm going to make a stand here tonight, and I'm going to be better tonight. You could just feel it in him, you know. And then you get asked after the game, you know, and it was an emotional game. And then you had the thing that happened at the end, which I think they clearly got right. So I didn't want to, you know, come right out and, you know, because I know they're going to go talk to Dwayne Casey next. But, look, at the end of the day, the reason we've had success against DeMar DeRozan defensively is because Rudy has just been really accepted the challenge of taking him on and defending. I think we all think of Rudy as a tremendous scorer, and he is. But I think you're right on point. I thought that was the best game I've seen him play overall game. I think he's been fantastic all season. He had a couple of those blips against the Spurs and the Clips. But it did, like I said, didn't let it roll into 2 weeks of not, you know, it was two games. Hey, I'm back. I'm going to be better. And that's big for us. And I thought as a team, that may be as good as we look since opening weekend or some of the games in the preseason.
Yes, Coach. You know, defensively, I love the how you guys played DeMar DeRozan. There seemed to be somebody was always meeting him if he did get past the initial defender. And interestingly enough, Westbrook and Harden coming up here, a little bit more dynamic as they possess the ball and are looking to dish it out. But are you similar in game plan setup with that type of approach?
Yeah, we're hoping they don't play.
Good luck.
It's hard to push their catches out on the floor is exactly what you're saying because yes. They bring it up, mm-hmm. You know, and so they have the element of playing in transition where both of them are such good scorers to get in the paint where they get ahead of steam coming at you. So, you know, you got to try to do a great job of just loading up and putting as many bodies in front of them and see if they'll settle and take quick shots or take long shots where they really both of them hurt you is when they get in the paint in a pick-and-roll action, and then they make their teammates better with the kickouts. And they don't throw lollipop passes. Both those guys throw bullets of which you don't have time to get back out and take guys off the shot. So how you deal with both of those guys, first thing is you got to take away the transition, try to limit some of the easy stuff they get. And that's been a real Achilles heel for us this year, and it's a big focus because, you know, I watched it last year. I've seen the numbers from last year. You know, transition defense is a work in progress for us.
You know, and a work in progress, also, we talk about consistency or lack thereof. And you've talked about, you know, the process and that this isn't going to happen overnight. C- Can you talk a little bit about what you think it's going to take to get to that consistency? And I'm not even sure how you would define consistency, but we're not seeing it. We're seeing ebbs and flows. We're seeing a good game. We're seeing a bad game, maybe a good quarter, a bad quarter. How difficult is that going to be to achieve in the near future?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a work in progress because even nights where you feel like, you know, the defense isn't playing really well, we're still getting better. We're still learning the system and learning different actions, and we're at a very simple level in what we're trying to do. And so when you play against teams that are on a graduate level, so to speak, Spurs, Clippers, teams like that that have been together, Toronto's now, you know, DeRozan and Lowry and Valanciunas have been together for five years. They're able to do things to me that we can talk about in a walkthrough, but that may be the first time they've seen how we play those kinds of actions and getting used to that. So it's a work in progress, but you know, even if we're not doing it well, we're still getting better at it, even though the numbers might not say. It's just more experience in doing it together. And you know, as far as the lineup goes, you know, I had pretty much decided early in the week that Toronto was a team that we gave them problems when we played small up at their place. I was kind of leaning towards going small anyway. So, you know, I don't know what we're going to do going forward. I know, you know, you can kind of see the guys that have created a spot for themselves in the rotation. If you had eight guys, you can kind of identify who all of those eight guys are. And the other two guys are trying to, you know, pick up the minutes where they can, or foul trouble, or find those spots.
Coach, interestingly enough, winning a game obviously is fantastic, but doing it without DeMarcus, really having a dominant DeMarcus game, does that do anything for the psyche of the bunch to say, you know, hey, guys, we were able to pull this out, and when they look at it, it's like DeMarcus wasn't as dominant as he usually is?
Good question. I think what I saw was some guys have some performances that they hadn't had in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I thought Aaron Aflalo had his best game since maybe the last time we played in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I thought Costa Kufis was much, much better. Mm-hmm. I don't attribute that to him coming off the bench or either of them. I just thought, like, they stepped their game up.
Right.
And that's what we need, individual guys to step up and say, you know what, I'm playing at 75% or 65% as well as I can. Nobody's trying not to play their best. There's no doubt. But there was just an extra level of focus in that game. And, you know, we needed that game for sure.
We're talking with Dave Yeager. It's brought to you by Petkus Brothers. I know you're really big on one of the categories and one of the statistic columns being plus minus. And I'm curious, you know, Doug and I talk about this. You know, it can sometimes, if you go game to game, it can be a little misleading. But when you look at plus minus, what's a good sample size in terms of games before that tells you a lot? Like, are we talking 5 games? Can you use it in a 10-game sample? When does it really make a lot of sense to you?
Good question. It makes sense best when utilized in lineup analysis. And to get to, even though it seems like the same group of guys is always playing together, they're not. Like, you know, and so after, you know, 10, 15, 20 games, then you have a sample size of, okay, what does it look like what's Rudy's plus minus when he's out there without DeMarcus? What is it when the two of them are together, then the other, and then neither? And so it's not just a raw number of, like right now, I think Rudy's plus 51. It's just fantastic. For a team who's 5-9, all things being equal, if we won as much by as many points as we lost by, and I think we probably lost by more, but regardless, to anywhere be a plus is very positive. And to be plus 51 12 games in or 14 games in is very, very positive for Rudy and the work that he's doing.
Coach, you know, a number that jumped out at me was the 26 assists, and I have said 24 is kind of a number. I'm wondering on a night-to-night basis if you have a number or if you even worry about that, because to me that denotes moving the ball and moving bodies. Is there a number in your head that sticks out at the end of the night you'd like to see?
Yeah, I haven't really got to it because, and I'd say that I haven't thought about it, but to be able to define it, because assists are gotten or had when the ball goes in the basket. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know that's like rocket science, right?
No,
but,
no, like, not at all.
Everybody always said, but what you're saying is exactly what it is. It's ball movement. Because if a guy dribbles more than twice, technically you're not supposed to get an assist.
Right.
And you certainly don't get an assist if the ball doesn't go in. So in our style, with the players that we have some guys who are isolation players and can really score one-on-one, one-on-two. DeMarcus, Rudy, Aaron Aflalo, Darren Collison can go get his own shot. So I haven't really got to define for us a number of when that really says when the ball is moving and when we're making open shots. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just curious, you know, when Reggie Theus used to play here for the Kings, there was nothing around the arena. And I'm not kidding you, there was nothing around. And so Reggie, after practice, would go out with his bow and arrow, and he would hunt his own turkey. Now, you living in the foothills and you being an avid hunter, will you hunt for your own turkey? Does that happen in the Jaeger family?
He's on one, Coach.
Man, I know you're rolling today, too, like you did last year. You're on fire, by the way. You know, I paid non-resident for my deer hunting license. I think I might pass on the turkey. And you can't shoot them in your backyard. You got a homeowners association, man. I mean, they come down the street, they stick out their tongues at me, and they just, you know, nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, I got a funny story on that. I've got friends, and they are avid hunters. And one of my friends owns a great deal of property about 4.5-5 hours from here, up north of San Francisco, up in the coast area, and they go hunting a lot on the weekend. So we were chatting. He was gone for 3 days, and they were hunting for deer and everything, and they didn't get any deer. And I kid you not, I'm not making this up, but in where we live in our neighborhood, there are deer all over the place, okay? And so I said, wait a minute, you just went away for 4 days, you were hunting, and you're in the where there's deer, and you didn't get a deer? And I go, and you're driving home, and on the street you live on, there are deer literally walking across the street in your front yard.
It's killing him.
But
it's
you can't.
Him. You know
I did not. You know me. I mean, being the obnoxious New Yorker, I talked about all night, you know?
Oh, man.
I don't get it. I don't get it, Coach. I don't get it. So,
I'm sorry, Coach. To bring it back to basketball, I heard Ty Lawson say this after the game, and I wanted your take about the ability to have playmakers on the floor, because he and Darren Collison are both two guys who can make plays. Do you think having both of them is that kind of a security to help facilitate the type of basketball that you have been talking about playing?
I think it helps. I think both sides of the floor can be activated a little bit more, and we can create shots for each other, which is, to me, the easiest basketball play there is.
Right.
If you can get two guys to guard you and pitch it. And then it takes not as much of a skilled guy to just, you know what, stand there and make an open shot. So I think that helps us, gives us a little bit of diversity. I think both guys are very quick and can pressure the basketball. It comes in with some problems. We'll see a little problem with Westbrook. Of not playing a bigger guard on him, or how do you get a bigger guard to play him? Because otherwise he's just going to box, take you down to the box, a la Gary Payton, just start backing guys down, and he's a load, man. So how it works and how it goes forward, I don't know, but at different points I think it's very profitable for us to do both. And I think it's easy to look at offensively, but I think defensively it's not a bad thing either, because they both have a lot of experience.
I'll tell you, Coach, great job by a lot of your players. I've been following them on social media. They've been out and about this week feeding the needy. And, Matt Barnes, DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay, all donating their time, their resources to, make sure that everyone has a meal. So great job by a lot of the players on your team.
Well, I appreciate that. And we try to mention that whenever it happens. But, I think sometimes your guys have been in the business, your company comes up with things and you just make an appearance. I think a lot of our guys, I know they have. They go to our organization and say, hey, I want to do X, Y, and Z. And then our organization does a great job of taking it and running with it and setting it up. And our guys are active participants in it, make the, 5-minute appearance. And, I can't stand that stuff. But our guys have been in it. And Matt Barnes was everywhere yesterday. Rudy Gay was out there and giving things, the meals away and stuff. And you're exactly right. It is fantastic. And it's special here, which is really cool.
Yeah, we have the absolute best fans. As you look at the season, Coach, right now, do you ever think about breaking it down, or how do you give it to them in digestible pieces as far as a team? Like, do you look at it as a road trip? Do you look at it as a home stand? Because, sometimes the wins and losses fluctuate and guys can kind of get down. Do you kind of give it to them that way?
But it's almost like you played in this league or something.
Coach, I'm just I try, Coach. I'm trying, man.
I love the question when the dude asked you about who was your hockey team. You were a sport on that deal.
Yes.
What was that team again? The Seattle what?
The Totems, man.
The Totems.
They're a minor league team. I'm with the Maple Leafs.
The
okay?
Seattle Totems?
Yeah, the Seattle Totems.
Coach, you've ever heard of the Seattle Totems?
that laugh says it all.
Oh, my gosh.
So, to your question, we've done it different ways. What I did in Memphis was we would go 5-game sets. And we said, okay, now at the end of the year, you know, all of us math majors, okay, 5 times 3, 3 out of 5, 3 times 2, whatever. And you come up with a number of wins that you could hope to attain at the end of the year, perhaps playoff position, et cetera, et cetera. It got to the point where I'd give out trophies. We'd give out like a cup. We had it, you know, it'd be the Grant Napier Cup this week. We're playing the 5-game series.
Cool.
And put it on the shelf. And I think that was really fun.
Yeah.
But at this point right now, it's different because of the road trips. And so I've kind of more broken it up. Okay, we're at home for 5 or 6. Okay, we're on the road for 5. I don't have the trophies out. I'm trying to we're still working through what our team is and what is our identity and what are we about, and keep hitting them with that stuff. So I haven't laid out goals. It'll come, especially, you know, over the next couple of years. But as the season goes on, we'll start breaking it up, because mentally it's easier to take for players, I think, is exactly what you're saying. Like, what's the short-term picture? I don't know what's after Christmas, but right. What do we got for the next 10? What is the next 7 or 8? And that's a pretty good question, buddy.
I'm trying, Coach. And if you need some names for those trophies, you know, the Wascally Wabbits, Pot Van Sucks is a great trophy. We can give you some names over here, Coach.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, Coach, listen, I want to apologize that our questions weren't as good as the ones you got after the Clippers game on Friday night, but we try our best.
He's on one,
hey,
Coach.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes,
hey, this could be just a fabulous. How about a Kings win tomorrow, a Vikings win on Thanksgiving Day at Detroit, and a Kings win before we head out on the road on Saturday? That would be perfect. I'll take that, a 3-game sweep.
That'd make that trip out east a lot shorter,
sure,
a lot more fun. Thanks, and happy Thanksgiving to all of yours as well.
You got it.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Great stuff right there. That is the Dave Yeager Show, brought to you by Petkus Brothers, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Good stuff. And, you know, I like, you know, he's got a great sense of humor,
but
he also, he is so knowledgeable. And I say that in talking with him, but I listen to what he says, and I talk to people that have worked with him both presently and in the past. And they talk about what a phenomenal basketball mind he has. And I love the way he answers some of the questions that you asked from a basketball player's perspective. It's very interesting to hear how he answers those.
I just, you know that I love basketball and love coaching. And just I love listening to him talk and the way he answers the questions and the facts that, like giving a cup. It's just little stuff like that, Grant. It breaks the season up. It gives guys, you know, you put a crazy name on it. Before you know it, it's on your locker. It's like Vlade with the mini-me by Mike's locker. It's stuff that you need when stuff might be kind of tilting and going a certain way. And, I just love talking to Coach.
Well, I think it's great for team unity. I think it's just tremendous for bonding and all of that. And so I think it's tremendous. Listen, Dave Yeager's been very honest from the first day that he took this job.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very honest from the day he had his first practice at training camp. This is not – and I keep on saying this. This situation – okay, and I'm talking about the futility that the Kings have had over the last couple of years. It didn't happen overnight. It's not going to get fixed overnight. And I get the fact that fans don't, as fans, because I'm a fan of my teams too, and patience is not something that I exhibit with my team. So I get that from a fan's perspective. But we're dealing in reality here. Dave Yeager's got a plan. He's done it before. He knows what needs to be done. It's not going to happen tonight. It may not happen tomorrow. But I like the fact that this guy's got a vision and knows where we need to be. And that's the thing that I'm holding on to. He's got a vision.
Exactly what I was going to say, Grant. When you listen to him, you feel comfortable with the fact that, okay, I see that he has a plan of what he's trying to accomplish, as opposed to just giving you the typical answer and all of that. There's a conversation that he's willing to open up the coat and show you and say, look, this is how it's going to go. You might not like the reality, but this is what it is, and I dig it.
Do you believe him when he doesn't hunt his own turkey? I believe him.
No, I think he's.
You think he does?
No, I'm just playing.
Homeowners, you know, I don't want the coach getting in trouble, but
homeowners,
you know,
association.
He could kind of duck into the woods a little bit.
You think coach has a silencer?
I'm not even going to get into that. I was hoping he'd go Reggie Theus style with the bow and arrow. That's what Reggie used to do.
Something nice and quiet, nice.
Yeah,
fresh
bow and arrow.
Turkey.
Reggie used to do that all the time. Reggie Theus is an avid hunter.
Is he?
Oh, big time.
Hey, or you just go out there on the golf course, and if you shank one. you might get you a turkey. I see him out there quite often.
You know, Brad Miller, you know, your former team.
Yeah.
Brad hunts
everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his own show. He's got everything. So it's good stuff. All right, and that is a true story. My buddy went away for 4 days to go deer hunting, and as he's driving home, there are literally deer walking across the street in his front yard. No, you can't make that up.
You're lucky your buddy is calm and collect, because if he was mad, he just might just go
Rambo on
him. I'm like,
dude, you just drove 5 hours. You spent 4 days in the woods, and you come home, and there's a deer in your front yard. I don't understand it. All right. We'll be right back again. The Dave Yeager Show brought to you by Petka's Brother. Great stuff with the coach of the Kings, Dave Yeager. We have him on each and every week. We have Matt Barnes on each and every week. We talked with Matt yesterday, and I'm glad Dave, you know, I wanted to bring that up. Just following the guys on social media and really spending a lot of time, you know, going out into the community, and they're doing this on their own. They're not. This is not part of the NBA requirement. You know, they're doing it because that's what they want to do. And so hats off to all the guys on a team. And again, I'm only pointing out a couple because I'm only looking on social media. But, you know, we had Matt on yesterday, and he talked about, you know, what he was doing for a lot of the needy families. And he spent so many hours last night. Rudy, DeMarcus always, wow. I would always say this about DeMarcus, you know, as critical as we can be at times, and I have my hand in the air when I say that, the guy in the community is A+. He is a phenomenal, charitable person, and he does it from the goodness of his heart. He doesn't do it because someone's asking him to do it. He does it on his own. And so for that, I've always given him a lot of credit. He does a phenomenal job from a charitable point of view in the community.
Yeah, he is a really special individual. I must have been last week where he used his celebrity to get Disney to bring a movie here, and kids were able to come and see it before it was even out in the theaters. We're talking underprivileged kids that might not get a chance to see it. Those are the little things. And yeah. So whenever I see that stuff from the guys, I tweet it out. They're doing a great job.
Reminder: I am going to be hosting the Jim Rome Show tomorrow. I will have Peter King from MMQB. I will also have on the show Phil Simms from CBS Sports. We will talk with Mike Breen, the TV voice of the NBA. So we've got all of those things and more. Very much looking forward to that tomorrow morning beginning at 9 o'clock. Busy day tomorrow. We've got our show from the arena at 3. And, of course, Kings basketball at 7:30 as they take on the Thunder. It's kind of nice that the Thunder are playing tonight for a variety of reasons. The guys can watch the Thunder play. So on their night off, they can eavesdrop on what's going on. And you're catching them on a second of a back-to-back. And you know what? Oklahoma City's struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah, well, it's a one-man band. And whenever someone else steps up for them, they become really, really deadly. But when you look at Russell Westbrook, I mean, he's a walking triple-double. But when he's able to dominate the game with that triple-double, that's when they become really special, because he's dropping dimes. Oladipo's hitting shots. Adams is dunking the ball at the rim. But you're right. You catch them on a back-to-back. And I used to always like to watch the team the night before, Grant, because you can see sometimes guys are just in a slump, and hey, if you're in a slump, I'm going to keep you in a slump. I'm going to ride right to the thing that you're not doing well. So, yes, from a number of reasons, hopefully the guys are fresh, feeling good. These guys come in a little bit not jet lag, but legs are a little dead, and run them out of the gym.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody just texted, Matt was just at our local park over here off Manzanita. Thank you so much, Matt. Kids were so stoked. I just saw on social media, Garrett Temple is going to be handing out food tonight with the Roseville Police Department, Bobby Jackson as well. So, you know, it's great. You know, again, it's big for everyone. It's not just our professional athletes. You know, if your neighbor and you as a family go out and, you know, spend a couple of hours doing whatever it is to make someone's Thanksgiving, you know, memorable and whatever. Hey, you know, hats off to you. It just doesn't have to be where we're patting our professional athletes on the back. We can pat each other on the back. We can pat our neighbor on the back. We can, you know, pat whomever. All right. If you're trying to make a difference during the holidays, if you're donating your time, and forget about the money, if you're donating your time to help out others, then give yourself a pat on the back.
Yes, that's it. Thanksgiving. Thanks always for all the things that are special to you and trying to make someone else feel special at the same time.
All right, again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. 920-1140. We've talked a lot about the game last night in Oakland or in Mexico City with the Raiders and the Texans. Just a horribly officiated game. I think that's an embarrassment for the NFL. The city of Oakland does have a framework of an agreement with the Ronnie Lott group. All right, it's just a framework of an agreement, but it's a step in the right direction in terms of trying to keep the Raiders until they can tie it all in and make a no ifs, ands, or buts about it and present it to the owners of the National Football League. That's what it's going to take.
Yeah, I will say this. From when I sat here and listened to you, I read all the stories and different stuff. It seems that there is a chance and an opportunity where when we first started this, before the name Ronnie Lott started coming out, it looked really, really bleak. And now there's still a lot to be done, as you mentioned. But I see that there is a chance.
Well, Ronnie Lott has got a lot of cachet. He's one of the most popular figures in the entire Bay Area. He has tremendous contacts, and both personally and business-wise. You know, Ronnie Lott is the type of a person that can get the money together. But you know what? Ronnie Lott's a businessman, and he's going to want X number of dollars from the Raiders if they're going to do this, because the Raiders are putting in a sizable amount of money into the Las Vegas deal. So to me, if you're going to put that kind of money into that deal, you should be willing to put that kind of money in to keep the team where it is.
I would assume, and this is an assumption, that whatever, I can't remember the number that Mark Davis was going to put into Vegas, but I would assume that it's probably going to be a little more here in Oakland. I would assume that. I'm not for sure, but you're right. You're going to have to, Mark Davis, come out of your pocket and take care of Oakland as they are trying to take care of you.
All right. So we will, if you want to comment on that, we'll do so at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. When I have Peter King on, and Peter King is the best and he knows everything, I'm going to get into that with him tomorrow morning on the Rome Show. I want to get his take on how viable he thinks that the Ronnie Lott plan, and he probably doesn't have the information that, you know, in other words, it's sketchy because it's a framework of a deal. But I want to get his take tomorrow on how the NFL would perceive that, because that's the key. You need 2/3 of the owners to vote yes to allow you to relocate. If the owners feel that there's a plan in place in your existing city, you're not going to get 2/3 of the vote. So why don't we come back and talk more about that and the Raiders game last night. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Two things, Grant.
Yes, sir.
One, I want to know the over-under that you and Phil Sims reference the Giants in the Super Bowl.
You know, Phil does not like talking about his playing days.
Really?
No, he does not. When you ask Phil, and it's very interesting you bring that up because I have the utmost respect for him, and he'll talk about it, but he doesn't consider himself – it's almost like that life never happened with him. It's like I'm a TV analyst now, and that's what I am. And I mean, and he knows my background. He knows I'm a diehard Giants fan. He knows all of that. But he's not really he'll do it because he knows of my interest in the team. But he doesn't really talk about that, and he would rather not talk about that.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I find that interesting. Even with the psycho fan, Grant Napier, of the New York Giants.
Well, it's funny. I went to the last game that Phil Sims ever played was at San Francisco in the playoffs, and it was the game in which Ricky Waters rushed for 5 touchdowns and the Niners just destroyed the Giants in the playoffs. And I was on the sideline for that game, and it was Lawrence Taylor's last game, and everyone knew that Lawrence Taylor was retiring, and so it was a big deal wherever Lawrence went. There were cameras everywhere, but no one knew it was Phil's last game, and the Giants and Phil could not work out a new deal.
And that was the last
game. And that was the last game he ever played.
Wow.
And he said, he goes, you know, I had an opportunity to go play for, I think it was Cleveland and one other team, and he was talking about his kids and the age they were, and he's like, and he stopped, and I have asked him, you know, I've been very, I said, Phil, I go, you know, you were not, for everything you accomplished in New York, you were not able to end your career the way you wanted to do you ever regret not playing? And he has said, there are times I've regretted not trying to play, because he made the Pro Bowlers last year. And he said, I was still a good quarterback. And he said, yeah, I do think about it, but that's another life. And, you know,
wow.
He started with the Giants. He ended with the Giants. Like, even the great Joe Montana. I mean, Tom Brady's not going anywhere. He'll end his career with New England. But think about how great Joe Montana was.
Yeah.
And he ended up playing with the Kansas City Chiefs. How about Ronnie Lott?
Yeah.
I mean, think about Ronnie Lott. Who would have ever thought that Ronnie Lott would not end his career, ended up playing with the Raiders and the Jets? Now, think about that.
Yeah.
Right?
That doesn't even sound right.
Brett Favre.
Yeah. That,
Right.
Well, the other thing is, we were talking about charity, and myself and KHDK are doing the 13 Days of Christy Moss. And you listen to our show every day from November 25th to December 12th to be part of the 13 Days of Christy Moss. And Grant, you can win a Christmas tree from Green Acres Nursery and Supply, plus a pair of Kings tickets courtesy of myself and KHTK. And you will also be qualified to win the grand prize on December 13th. And the grand prize is myself and the KHT crew will come and deliver the Christmas tree, decorate it on the 17th of December.
Wow.
And you will get some food for your family and friends. And you can visit KHDK.com for more information. And Grant, if you want to come, you're more than welcome.
What's the date on that?
December 17th.
Let me see where I am on the 17th. I think I'm out of town.
You're the best. You guys, we need a camera in here. I can't even make this stuff up, man. When Grant has this little, I'm going to get a picture one day. When I know when he's going to say something a little outside the box, because he gets this star. I bet you know this look. It's a little smirk. His lips smirk up, and it's,
you know what? I'm
in,
I'm actually in Dallas that weekend, but I'm not staying in Dallas because I will not stay in Dallas. So I will stay in the outskirts, and then on the 17th, we play in Memphis on the 16th and in Dallas on the 18th.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I would help you out if I could.
I'll send you some pictures.
Actually, I will stay in Dallas. I'm just kidding. I actually have a lot of good friends in Dallas. Mrs. Napier's from Dallas, so I can't, you know, I can say anything bad I want about the Cowboys, but I can't say anything bad about Dallas.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I can.
No, I like Dallas. Dallas.
They feed you good after you beat them.
It's the best.
I guess even if they beat you down, they feed you.
You know that the Kings broke the streak? The last time the Kings won, you were on the Kings, the last time they won in Dallas.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Keon Clark made the winning shot and ran off the court, and the Kings, until last year, had not won in Dallas since then, since 2002, I believe.
Man, this must be something, because this is like, so the clip went out of you and me at the game in San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio, you were behind the back pass, yep.
You just mentioned Keon. Then the other night, I'm on TV, and there's this guy, and he has a sixth man of the year, and it's Keon Clark. So I'm on air, and I just, when I saw it, I just had to give him love, so I pointed at him.
He needs love because he's in prison right now.
Exactly. He's one of my absolute favorites.
I enjoyed being around him, too. It's tragic to see what's happened in his life since he got out of basketball. It really is.
Good dude, funny, and a great teammate. Great teammate. Yeah. Funny as
was always would have you laughing.
Sorry, guys. I can't tell you those things, though, because they'd get us all in trouble. But he's a funny guy.
Very funny. All right, we are at the halfway point. They're serving pizza at the Bulls-Nuggets game tonight, as I'm looking at Stacey King on TV.
That's wrong, Grant.
What?
What are you trying to say?
What do you think Stacey's weighing these days?
325.
Oh, at least. He's more than 325.
Okay, well, I was just – he is 6'10".
He's a lot more than 325.
Okay, so you're saying four Bills?
Yeah, I think he's closer to four than three.
Wow. Stacey King. Well, I don't know. I said 325, you went four, and you looked up and you said pizza, and you did that smirk thing, and I knew exactly.
I was just trying to get you to laugh.
I knew exactly where you were going.
All right, we will be right back. Two more hours left. Right here on Sports 1140.